Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm your host. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host, and the program is produced by David Tapia. This is podcast number 8, January 24th, 2006.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Google AdSense. They provide our listeners with the ads that they find helpful, and they give us a little money back, which is used to help run our website.
Keep up the good work, Steve. I like it. We need all the money we can get. Well, the Ferrari 248 came out today.
Ooh.
248 stands for 2.4 V8. I don't know how long it took them to come up with that.
I think they didn't have a number. They just came up with the last minute.
First, I was intrigued by it was codenamed 657, which I liked. Yeah. It reminded me of Agent 99 in Get Smart. Yeah. I thought, you know, that was sneaky. But then they were also calling it the F2006. Today they came out, 248, they had a press conference in Fiorino. And I have to admit, I did like the press conference. Instead of having the car just sitting on a podium and little naked girls and lots of giggling and snickering, they actually did 44 laps around the track in fairly cold temperatures with Schumacher at the wheel. I was impressed. I thought it was pretty cool. Montezemolo, confident in return to form, he was quoted. He's pretty pumped up. There's a picture on a couple of websites of Jean Todt, Massa, Montezemolo, and Schumacher all hugging and kissing.
Yeah, in their parkas. And
it's beautiful. And you don't see a German kissing and hugging Italians very often. No. So they're pretty upbeat. I think the car looks pretty good. I am still stunned that the nose is still sort of last year's nose. Now, I know there's going to be aerodynamic changes, but looking at the McLaren MP421, which came out today testing, I believe it came out yesterday first with Pedro de la Rosa. By the way, the MP421 driven by Pedro and the MP420 hybrid driven by Gary Paffet, their photo is on our website, F1Weekly.com. You can take a look, and it's a great shot because you can see the new MP421 in front of the MP420 hybrid and really see the differences from just the nose, the front wing. McLaren now is going with a much narrower nose with a dent in it, and it's similar to what Renault had last year with a very narrow nose. I assume that many more teams were going to go in that direction, and when I saw the Ferrari, I was really stunned. It still had a wide nose, very similar to last year's. The big differences are towards the back of the car. Another thing I really like is Martini is on board as a sponsor.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think it's great.
But McLaren already has started their problems with the reliability, with Pedro dropping out after only a couple of laps yesterday.
Okay, McLaren had a
Hydraulic
failure. They had an oil pressure problem. Now, Desiree, who will be on the show live tomorrow, is going to bring a special McLaren program. She's doing her homework right now. And we should bring you some more data on what happened on the motor yesterday. But going back to the 248, I'm really surprised that the nose hasn't changed. But overall, the car looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's Italian. It's going to have some good lines.
That's true. I think it's got great lines.
I think the number of the car is kind of a stab at the FIA because they figure that by next season the FIA will change the spec so they can change the number.
That's true. And the other drama I thought were the numbers on the car were 5 and 6 because 1 and 2 is going to Renault.
I know
that's traumatic for them. I know them.
Oh, yeah. Well, after all, the last five years
exactly.
They've been carrying
those exactly. Numbers? And to see the numbers 5 and 6 takes them back to 6, 7 years ago. So I know Jean Todt's misty eyed because that brings them back to when he really joined the team. And another surprising thing is Rory Byrne, who had announced his retirement a couple years ago. He's supposed to retire in some Malaysian retreat or something, and he signed on for 2 more years as a consultant. They've really had to cope because this guy's not young anymore.
No, and he was ready to basically retire in comfort.
Exactly.
But most of these guys, he probably spent 6 months in Malaysia and went, what the heck am I doing down here?
Well,
poured out of my skull.
I think that tsunami sort of sort of messed up things down there.
Flushed him back.
Well, I don't know. I think he might have lost his little horse ranch.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of them have Malaysian retreats. I believe not only does Rory Byrne, but Ross Braun has a Malaysian retreat. Mm. They do scuba diving down there. It's a really big European destination, and a lot of people retire, like what's his name from Renault? Bravo, bravo, bravo. Briatore, Flavio. He's got a big retreat in Kenya.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
On the coast, or?
I don't know.
Can you have a coast?
I'm not sure. We'll get an email about that, I'm sure. Also, Marc Genet set the pace. The Ferrari seemed to be pretty good and seemed to be pretty dependable. I think it's right up there with the Renault.
So far. Be interesting to see, basically, as we get through testing season, how consistently reliable everybody's cars are. The Renault was kind of out there in the front as far as reliability goes. I haven't heard the Ferraris having any trouble. We've seen the McLarens fall off the pace a couple times. And the Hondas, Toyotas, and was it Williams that was out earlier in Juarez? Or that they were having occasional problems.
Very few. Actually, Williams has been doing very, very well. And another car that's been doing very well is the BMW Sauber F1.06. Jacques Villeneuve is very happy with that. Don't laugh when I say that. F1.06.
Well, you got to differentiate it between
I suppose, and the but Jacques Villeneuve is quickest. Nick Heinfeld was right behind him by 0.8. So BMW is showing some excellent form.
And they're also saying that the RB2 is out on the track, and they think they have their cooling issues under control.
Good.
But it'll be really interesting to see them get on the track in some place like Bahrain. And whether or not they actually do have the cooling.
I have neglected, I have to admit, the RB2, the RB1, Toro Rosso. I've been so occupied with the front teams that I have neglected.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of news on them. There was just a quick blip on the RB2. Basically, almost the fact they were on the track, and that was pretty much it. There wasn't really any news about it, at least that in the articles. That
no, and it's preseason, and the news is pretty lacked. Also, I have to admit, Montoya, a statement came out of his little entourage about him unsure about being at McLaren at 2007. So I think we're going to hear more about McLaren and their driver lineup in 2007. And I really don't like that to bog down 2006 season with the silly season starting so early. But I think the Fernando Alonso thing really kicked off the silly season months and months and months ahead of time. So where Kimi Raikkonen goes in 2007 is going to be an issue. Where Montoya goes in 2007. Even where Michael Schumacher goes in 2007.
Yeah. You know, it's like, let's just get to the cars right now. The
but
drivers
I like
are
that.
Set for the season. Who cares?
But I like political turmoil.
Yeah, well, it does.
It makes me happy.
Add a little bit of intrigue.
Exactly.
It's one of those things that makes F1 fun for me.
Speaking of turmoil, I do want to tell our listeners to take the survey on the podcast page. No need to give any personal information. This survey is so we can provide better sponsors and upgrade the website and podcasts. Take the survey, please. It's a little annoying, but if you do it, you know,
you're helping us out.
Buy yourself a beer and you'll feel a lot better. Also, I have to mention this, is Toyota is going into NASCAR. Now, we're not NASCAR people, but I have to mention it because Toyota's in F1. And Toyota is also going into NASCAR, and Ford is about to restructure and lose 30,000 employees, and Toyota is spending money like they're making it.
Well, it's just really because they are making it.
The difference between a well-run company that makes a good product and the alternative, a Ford product that's not selling. They put
it's not
all their
exceptionally well made. I'm not a big Ford fan.
It's
coming back to haunt Ford. That's what happens when you cut Jaguar and Cosworth. You know, they should have kept them. They were probably turning a profit.
Well, I think that. Well, I read a rumor, and I've mentioned it on an early podcast that I read when I was in France in October that Renault was considering buying Jaguar because they need a luxury line.
Yeah.
The Velsatis, which was a car made by Matra, which one of my favorite manufacturers. The Velsatis never really caught on. It's actually already a collectible because Matra decided to pull out of building cars. So Renault is looking for a luxury line, and they could very well possible buy the Jaguar line.
Yeah,
and as everybody knows, I'm sure, because our listeners are suave, that Renault and Nissan are hand in hand. They're 50%. Renault got into Nissan when they were going down the tubes about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah. Two things interesting in what we just mentioned, in that Toyota's the first foreign runner in NASCAR since the 50s.
Since Jaguar.
And Jaguar was the one that was in there last.
Yeah, the irony.
Arr. Too funny.
So that it's very bizarre. I had to mention a little NASCAR news. You know, sometimes...
And all the NASCAR guys are sweating because they know Toyota's going to come in and just spend money hand over fist.
And I think some... Exactly. And some of them don't like it. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not even going to say anything about it. Let's move on. Also, Eddie Irvine. I love Eddie Irvine. Once again, found guilty for speeding. But the Ultraman has a bigger problem than a fine. There is still an English arrest warrant against him. Irvine is... He's a great guy, flamboyant, but he's always getting into some kind of legal trouble.
Yeah, well, was he a driver or was he a principal? Eddie Irvine, I'm sorry.
That's right.
He's before
Steve,
my time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, Eddie Irvine was number two at Ferrari with Schumacher before Barrichello.
Yeah. Next race car driver getting a speeding ticket.
And then he went... Well, Montoya's gotten several speeding tickets in the south of France.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody gets speeding
tickets. Don't know how to drive slow.
Well, the problem is they're in the limelight. They have to set... the standard. As a matter of fact, Fisichella got a speeding ticket after he gave a speech. There was a young man who died in a drag race in Italy, in his neighborhood, in his neck of the woods. And Fisichella came out, oh, the safety, you must respect the safety. You could go to the racetrack and race, but do not do it on the street. The people die. The following day, he gets a speeding ticket.
Oops.
It's called hypocrisy.
It's called oops.
Yeah. So, but I like Fisichella, no big deal. Also, back to the 248. I think Ferrari is going to be...
competitive.
Very competitive. I think they're going to be better than McLaren. I see McLaren having some problems.
I think McLaren... Right now, I'm thinking that McLaren's going to see the same kind of reliability issues that they saw with the MP420.
I think you're right. I think in testing, we've seen some hint towards that. Schumacher himself said the only team that's really impressed him of the top four is Renault. Haven't gotten any very much news from Toyota except for the NASCAR thing. I guess that might have overshadowed any F1 news. And also, I'd like to tell everybody to check out the photo gallery. We also have a picture of the Ferrari without the livery, and I think the lines come out a little bit better now that the livery is on the car. Martini, I love Martini back in motorsports. Fantastic. Also, Podtrac Player, you can now stream our podcast from our site. This is for all the people who can't download the shows. It's right there on the front page, f1weekly.com. Anything else you got to say about the Ferrari, Steve?
No. I did notice that their website changed dramatically.
From one day to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was
the
cool.
Release.
That was
and
cool.
And then also Massa's basically like, oh, I'm so glad to be here. I like the car. I might actually be able to get a podium and maybe even win a race this year.
You know, I think he can.
Oh, he probably can. If the car is as good as we hope, or as they hope, then I see there's no reason why he can't. And then also the fact that they're on the Bridgestones. Bridgestone's got more teams, more data, and the tire changes are back. I think that gives Ferrari a distinct boost compared to last season.
I think the other biggest thing, a bunch of drivers are going to be going head-to-head a lot more fiercely this year. Alonso said no more conservative driving. Renault told him not to drive conservative this year. Montoya's really got to prove himself this year.
Yeah.
His testicular fortitude is on the line.
Well, he's got to eliminate the mistakes because he had a couple of times.
I think that's going to add up to more mistakes and clashing with Kimi Raikkonen, Fernando, Schumacher.
Some more good races.
I can't wait for the season to start, honestly. Also, I want to remind our listeners to make sure you keep emailing us with fan photos. Pretty soon we're going to have the fan gallery up, and we're working on it. We've only gotten a few emails with fan photos, but the photos are pretty good. Some of them are a little dorky, But we like that. I like cornball. We want to see pocket protectors, slide rules, the whole kit and caboodle. Also, make sure... We had a problem with Yahoo. If anybody's gone to Yahoo for a podcast, we apologize. But our producer's working on it. We got a technical team on that. And we'll get it fixed pretty soon. Steve, I thought maybe we would go to some listener email. Because we have some decent ones.
Sure, let's do that. We got a plethora this week. A plethora of emails. Start with the first one from John Vatne. Is that right?
I think so.
At Mech of Speed, and we really appreciate that mail from him.
Go, John.
He says, "Hello, F1 Weekly. I've listened to your last few podcasts, and I'm starting to pick up your rhythm. I think you guys are doing a fine job. And keep up on the news and putting it in podcast form. I enjoy popping on my iPod at work and listening to your show while working on various projects." And then he also mentions that he's added his added a link on his website, which is mechofspeed.com, to f1weekly.com, which we definitely appreciate that, John. That's that's great. John's site primarily focuses on champ car racing, so if you have any interest in champ car, that's a place to go. He's got some insiders who can who get him some pretty good dirt, so check that out. And John, we'd also like to thank you for your various suggestions for cleaning up the air behind our podcast. We are in the process of trying to implement a few of them, but they should be coming up in the next couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, we take all these suggestions seriously, especially we admit we've had some sound quality issues, especially for you guys that are putting headsets on. We have an ambient noise problem in our studio, and if you saw our studio, you would laugh. But this is the best we can do right now because of budgetary constraints. Go ahead, Steve.
The next one is from Eric Holland in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, guys. I'm new to the podcast and have only been following F1 for a few years. I listen to you guys at work and love the show. You were talking about what sort of coverage to do, i.e. race, qualifying, or both. For someone who it is not practical to see qualifying all the time, I'd love it if you covered qualifying and then, of course, the race. I know it would help me follow the sport as well as enrich the races. Thanks, guys. Eric. You're the first one who's actually voiced any preference so far, but Clark and I are kind of leaning towards a minimum of qualifying and races.
For sure.
And very likely even picking up the practice runs, just because there's usually a lot of good news around practice.
It's also the racetrack. Now, Spa-Francorchamps is one where I would do a podcast for practice because I love Spa. It's just a great track, and I try to absorb as much as I can. Unfortunately, I'm not sure what's happening with Spa, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But for sure, we're going to do a post-qualifying, and then of course we'll have a post-race for every race. And depending on logistics, location, like when we go to the U.S. Grand Prix, I'm not sure what we'll be able to do, how long it'll take us to upload it. So just stick with us, and we'll always announce that before the podcast, before the race.
Yeah, we'll give you some kind of estimated ETA.
Absolutely.
As to what coverage we plan to bring
exactly
that following week, because we'll be doing the weekly cast still, following the news and stuff.
So. Correct.
Let's jump on to the next one. John Butts from Road Racer Podcast. He's at roadracerpodcast.com. Was checking out your podcast. Good stuff. The issue with the sound quality with Desiree, she brought up, why not try Skype? It's free and it has great sound quality for recording. Just me 2 cents, John, says John. Thanks, John. That's actually something that we were looking into and may actually be able to do for the next time we have Desiree on remote. But just a reminder that Desiree will be live in studio with us day after tomorrow. And that should be very interesting.
It should be very interesting because that'll be her first live show.
first time that actually be the first time I've actually met her in person.
There you go. So it should be exciting. She is a tease. I don't know if you guys noticed, but she loves F1 so much, and that's the fun part. Also, I want to mention our links page and our About Us page have been updated, F1Weekly.com. We've got the guy who composes our music now. All our music is original. We don't want to have any copyright infringement problems. So we have original music. His name is Brian Thomas. He's in Las Vegas. So check out his bio. He's even got a picture up there. Trying to make these people feel good. Check us out on iTunes. Podcast Pickle, Podcasting News, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts. All these have direct links from our website.
And also on that links page, we've actually added links to all of the official team sites.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you did that, Steve. Yeah. Keep up the good work.
Hey, gonna keep doing that. We got one more mail, and then we'll go into we'll probably talk about Spa and then work toward a wrap up. This next email is from Mark Watson in Worcester, England. Hey, great shows, but why are all the F1 podcasts coming from the USA? All of us in Europe are told so frequently by all our press that F1 is unliked and not followed by you colonials. I'm amazed how well-informed and articulate you guys are about F1, as UK and European press has always cast you Yanks as bumper car heads, lacking knowledge of true circuit racing. Consider the book rewritten. You guys rock. Hey, thanks, Mark. We really appreciate that.
That was my favorite email of the week. Yeah. I love being called a colonial. It just brings those colonial moments back. And I know Europeans think we're a bunch of
thunderheads.
Exactly. NASCAR this, NASCAR that. I understand. And that's just the way it is. That mold will be broken. Yeah, and like I
personally don't like watching cars go around in circles.
I don't either.
You know, it's like I like road races because I like the changes in direction.
I agree.
And to be a race car driver, you have to be able to turn more than right.
To be honest with you, I do watch. I'll glance at NASCAR when they do Watkins Glen in New York. I'll glance at NASCAR when they do Sears Point, and I believe now it's called Infineon Raceway, and that happens to be here in Northern California. Also, stay tuned for another all-new podcast next week. I want to remind you, Desiree's going to have a special on McLaren. And when she says she's going to have a special, she always does really, really well. What about Spa?
It's still up in there. We really don't have
Bernie.
But we do not have a definitive answer anywhere that says
I don't think it's going to happen.
Completely off.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But basically, from what we've been able to glean, it's the FIA is denying it, but the sources out of Belgium are basically saying it's toast, that Bernie's taken over in 2007.
Well, he wants the paddocks rebuilt starting now. That means they wouldn't have time to finish them and have them have a race, I believe, in September. If you go to the FIA website, the race is still on the schedule for 2006. I say postpone the work. Have the drivers vote. If they can put up with the paddocks that they were that they were using there last year, and if they say yes, let's have a race. It's the best racetrack on the schedule, at least one of them. When they built the track in Turkey, they were emulating Spa in a number of different ways. Mm. Monaco, who's had some refurbishment on their paddocks, still have very tiny paddocks. The T-car still does not fit in the garage. It has to be across the road. So please, Bernie. And I know he's got a way of coaxing people and by using threats. I've seen it done with Silverstone. Bernie. We want Spa. Think about the drivers. Think about F1 Weekly listeners. Think about Formula One fans before you start thinking about the paddock needs to be refurbished.
Yeah, they raced there last year. I don't know. I don't recall hearing anybody complaining about the paddock when they raced there last year.
It never comes up because the track is so good. That's all they talk about. Eau Rouge. The bus stop chicane.
Okay, you know, if it's a really big problem for you, Bernie, have them refurbish your apartment in the paddock so
there
that
you
you're
go.
Happy with it.
That's what
and
it
then
is.
Everybody else could
maybe the facilities weren't very good. Also, I want to talk about something I saw the other day when I was watching an A1 Grand Prix, and I've never seen this before, and I thought it was a fantastic idea. Whenever there was a wreck, sometimes that could be a problem. The safety car comes out. It takes time to get the wreck off of the dangerous corner or the gravel. A1, in the last race, I think it was the last race, were using a helicopter.
Oh, really?
The helicopter would come in, they'd hook the car up, and it's out of there.
Instead of having to bring in
the forklift and the tractor and all that, they had the helicopter ready. Boom, boom, boom. I was impressed.
That's very interesting.
I think the FIA needs to look at this, because in terms of safety, the thing is out of there in seconds. It clears, and it's great for the teams, because the helicopter brings the car back and right to the team.
It runs it over and drops it in the pit.
And if it happens in qualifying, they don't have to wait till the session is over to start working on the car.
Right.
That was the impressive part. The team gets the car really quick. It's the safety issues, the work on the car issues, I thought they were terrific. I thought it was a really high-tech way of moving a car out of the way.
Yeah.
It was very impressive.
Some inherent risks, though, in lifting a car with a helicopter, but...
They have helicopter. Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's an inherent risk in everything, but I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool.
So there you go. Okay, we're going to go into our wrap-up. Steve, you got anything else to say about that 248? I like the 248.
It's a pretty car.
I'll
give them that much. I don't think it's... Right now, the aero package on it is marginally competitive. if we're using Renault as the benchmark for aero package. But it is probably in the top four, definitely.
I agree. Once again, I'm surprised with the front nose. I thought for sure I would have bet money on it that they would go with the narrow style of a narrow nose. I know McLaren did. And it's funny, it reminds me of pince-nez. That's a French term of pinching the nose. And the McLaren's got that bend. And it's not very pleasing to the eye. But I think they did their homework.
Yeah.
And I guarantee we'll see a new nose in the middle of the season for the F248.
Yeah, probably. I'm actually surprised, considering the amount of money that Toyota's been putting in, that Toyota's aero package doesn't look more advanced.
I agree. I sort of wish I could see the Toyota in one color. Because sometimes the two-tone and the way they have that ragged...
The way they're that kind of splash.
Yeah, that splash. It's hard to see.
Kind of breaks up the line. It's hard to pick it up.
I agree. But anyway, I think we're getting a lot of surprises from BMW, from Ferrari. Not much from Renault. I think they're pretty much on par for me.
Yeah, I think they're,
I haven't been surprised with anything they do.
It'd be interesting. I was interested today to get onto their website and see... Oh. Site's closed until we release the car.
That's right. The Renault website is closed until the release of the R26 in Monaco, I believe, on January 31st.
Correct.
So there you have it. I think we've done another podcast.
We've done another one.
Finito. We're going to wrap it up. Just want to tell everybody, stay tuned for podcast number 9. It should be a McLaren special with Desiree, and she's going to be in the studio live. I wish we could show you a video cast of that, because she's sort of attractive, but too bad. We get the good stuff. You guys just get to listen. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark.
Good night, Dave.